circumstances and so forth. And I think not that God wants us to dwell on the negative that befalls us, but every one of us, if we sat and thought about it, we could come up with a list of things that have happened to us in our individual lives. Whether it be, you know, a financial setback, something that we just don't think, you know, how are we going to get through this? You know, maybe the loss of a loved one. Every one of us has experienced that. You know, Brother Jory, it was mentioned last week, you know, he's just lost his mother. But his attitude was, he knows her reward. He's confident of it. That helps. That really helps. You know, every one of us have had some sort of physical, you know, maybe done something klutzy and maybe slipped on some ice and broken a couple of ribs, the same ribs he broke 8 years ago. But, you know, that happens. And God wants us, like the title of the sermon last week, quit whining, cupcake, and get going. Amen. We're told to go forward, but a lot of times we as people, we as Christians, we're sincere. But how do you go about it? We know that we've got to, but how? We just sometimes don't have, we're not equipped. We don't know where to turn in order to do that. One of the first things that people have to ask yourself is, do you want to go forward? You have to ask yourself, do you really want to go forward? And I say that kind of tongue in cheek, but I'm sure you can probably think as you go through life, whether it be family members, people you work with, maybe even people that you've worshiped with over the years, they may not want to go forward for whatever reason. And for every individual, there's kind of a different backstory. Some of it has to do with personality. From a psychological point of view, some people like being the victim. The world is full of people that want to be the victim. Get a lot of attention that way. You get a lot of pats on the back, a lot of hugs, maybe a phone call. And it seems like they perpetually live as a victim. They don't want to go forward because then it takes them out of that mode. Some people, it takes too much effort. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy. I just want to sit down in the road and stay here, even though we're told to go forward. Some people don't want to. It takes a lot of responsibility off your shoulders. If I've got this, this, and this that has befallen me, and you can at least for a little while kind of get off the hook from serving God with people. But God wants us to go forward. And everybody, I don't care who you are, people have got to ask themselves, do I really want to go forward? And hopefully our answer is yes. But then how do we go about it? You know, we want to accomplish something, but maybe don't know how to do it. One of the ways, and I tell you, I'm not giving any secrets that I've figured out. It's just from the Word. But I have found over my life, I'm not unique. But I tell you, I've had a number of, you know, we've all had it. It's not just me. We've all been given a gut punch once in a while. Given a hit that takes us to our knees. Some of us getting our teeth kicked in once in a while. I'm not saying that I'm unique. It's happened to me. These are some things that have helped me, but I didn't come up with them. Heaven forbid, I'm not that smart. They're already recorded for us in the Bible. One of the ways that we can move forward is through prayer. Is to pray about the situation. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 4, verse 6, he says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Paul wrote those words from a Roman jail cell. His words aren't, "Oh, poor, woe is me. You know, I'm just going to sit down and cry in my milk and moan my fate to whoever will listen." He is saying, "Be anxious for nothing, but through prayer." And he says, "With thanksgiving." He's writing from jail. I try to always think, it doesn't always happen. I always try to think of the good. You know, I told you recently, you know, the doctors have found my heart goes into AFib every so often. I've lived an extremely active, and I've been blessed, very healthy life up until recently. And I guess it still is. And instead of kicking and moaning and scratching and crying and whining, one of the first things I did was I thanked God that He gave me so long to squeeze as much out as I have. And if it ended right now, if it ended this moment, if I just fell down, if it ended right now, blessed be to God that He's given me so much. When a loved one dies, we can thank God. Thank you for sharing them with us for as long as you did. When we're complaining at work, something that we don't like, you know, who's been there that you don't like something going on at work? God, thank you for a job. There's a lot of people that wish they had that problem of having to get up at a certain time to go to work. There's a lot of people that wish they had a job, etc. But Paul said, you know, "But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving." That's how we move forward, prayer. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul continues to give some good advice. In chapter 5, he says, "Rejoice always, especially when things are going your way." They don't say that. "Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing." Paul's not saying give a prayer 24/7 constantly, but have the attitude. Prayer is that far away from God. We can pray at any and all times, over any and all things. Now, I personally am not advocating when you're driving to work to close your eyes, take your hands off the wheel, put your hand. I'm not saying that, but you know what? You can be in an attitude of prayer while driving to work. Pray without ceasing in everything. Here we go with the thanks again. But God, you're taking out of the equation my ability to get to moan and complain. By everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The power of prayer to help us go forward. Another is to study God's Word. To study God's Word. If anything, just from a practical standpoint, the time you take out of your day to study God's Word, however long X time that is, that's that long that's taken away from sitting around griping. But studying God's Word shows the way. Shows the way of where you're wanting to get. We learn from studying God's Word. We learn about the nature of God. We learn about things that apply to our lives. It encourages us. Every one of us in here can find, and I love it how Preston says, I don't like to call them stories, but different accounts of God. Every one of us can find an account and in an event that applies to things that's happened in our lives. And it encourages us how people of a like situation has gotten through something. It inspires us. It reaffirms, if anything, that what we're doing is what God wants us to do. And we study God's Word. I know I don't enough. I know I don't get enough strength by spending enough time in God's Word. Psalms 119, verse 105, the psalmist wrote, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." We want to know how to go forward. Well, God's Word lights the way and shows us the way that God wants us to go. In 2 Timothy, and this was the scripture that Daryl read this morning, it says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I loved, in the old Batman TV series and in the movies, the Bat Belt. Seemed like he had a gizmo or gadget right at his disposal for everything. Doesn't compete with this. This makes us complete and perfect for every good work. And I know I don't take advantage of what I've got at my disposal enough. But we want to go forward and want to know the way. Get into God's Word. Be around Christians. Surround yourself with good people. If you surrounded yourself with a bunch of gloomy gusses, you're going to be a gloomy Gus. Surround yourself with Christians. It's kind of hard to stray if you're surrounded by strong brothers and sisters in Christ. You learn from them, and they can learn from you. You can be encouraged, built up, challenged. That's one of the good things. We can challenge each other. We not only comfort each other, but you know, there is something nice about getting a hug from Devin or a pat on the back, but there's something else too, brother. And then whatever it is to make me better. We challenge each other, and we are accountable. We're not only accountable to God. Now, you're not going to have a say-so on the day of judgment about me, but I feel accountable to you. And I want to be accountable to you. And you are accountable to me and to each other. And it makes us better. Be around Christians. Proverbs 27:17, I love this verse. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. What's the benefit of having them as a friend if they don't make you better? The people I try to hang around, they make me better. And hopefully, me on them. Also in Proverbs 12, verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. That's one of those black and white case closed. Bad friends corrupt good morals. You want to hang around the gutter? You're going to suffer the consequences. You walk in the gutter very long, you're going to get dirty. Attend. Not just hang around, Christian, but attend. And be active. And that just, you know, I had to put the be active also. Attend is just not show up and warm up a pew. It's not just punching a time card. Do they even have time cards anymore? I don't think they. I mean, I'm showing my age, but I remember I used to have to take a little thing and so they can figure out how much to pay you. But we get the idea. I showed up. Check. But be active with. I wonder how long we would be in a club. I'm a member of the Elks Club. I'm not, but I'm a member of the Elks Club. I don't go to any meetings. I don't participate in any of their activities. I don't go recruit anybody, but I'm a member. Wonder how long you'd be a member, you know, if you didn't do that. Worship. We attend worship with our brothers and sisters. The strength that we as a body give, the praise we give to God. Bible classes. Attend with your brothers and sisters to learn. Well, I don't get anything out of the Bible classes. I don't like the teacher. I don't like the guy that's speaking. Man, if I was there, I wouldn't like me. I don't like the guy that's speaking. You know what? What about showing up to the Bible classes to help somebody else learn things you know? Share with them. I've already heard that before. Then enlighten somebody. The activities. Be part of the body. Be part of the body. And it's amazing how much that momentum will get you going. We want to go. God told us, go forward. Quit your crying and go forward. This is one of the ways we can do that. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another. Well, I go to worship, I just don't get anything out of it. Let us consider one another. It's not about you. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's how we get stronger. It's how we build each other up, by being together. Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the household of faith. I have found it's usually not the lack of opportunity, but the lack of will. The opportunities are always there for me. I just don't always take advantage of them. And we have to stay with it. It's not a thing of we do it when it's easy or when it's enjoyable, or it's not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. It's a lifelong commitment. And a lot of times, don't we feel as a Christian sometimes like this? How do you eat an elephant? It just seems so overwhelming to be a Christian. And like that old buzzard, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. One day at a time. You be a Christian today. You devote yourself to prayer, the study of God's Word, being around each other. And then you know what? You do it again tomorrow. And then you do it the next day until that last great day. That's how we do it. Galatians 6, verse 9, Paul says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." If we don't lose heart. And the last verse, Philippians 3. Paul was able to write toward the end of his life, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Amen. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." It would have been very easy of all the people. It would have been very easy for Paul to have just gotten tired and given up. But he pressed on. Every day he pressed on. And I encourage you, you just do it. I have no connection to Nike. I don't get any compensation from Nike. I'm not promoting Nike. In fact, I don't really like Nike shoes. I'm more of a Saucony guy. But as the buzzwords for Nike, just do it. And that's a good, if we want to go forward, we just have got to do it. Sometimes you just have to. Maybe you don't feel like it. But do it. If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need strength, if you need prayers to just keep moving forward, we will assist you. If you have been studying God's Word and realize that I need and want to be a Christian, we can assist you with that. If you need to if you would like to set up a study to further your knowledge of God's Word, we've got more than enough people in here to study with you. If you would like to identify with us as worshiping here at South Valley, worshiping God with us, working with us, that'd be great. Whatever your need, if when Kurt leads us in the invitation song, if you would come forward, let your needs be known. We'll address those needs. Let us stand and sing.